County, she would just know that her friend had died and that she missed him. She would have been sitting in deep grief, not just at the loss of a friend, but at the loss of all the hopes that she had put into that relationship, things that would now seem unresolved, perhaps forever in her mind at this moment. So she's crying out of deep pain, and as anyone with deep pain knows, it's hard to focus on anything but the pain at that moment. There have been studies done on the effect that grief has on people, and people's brains just shut down to their most basic functions when we are faced with this kind of extreme situation. So it can be easy to forget simple things. Her one source of hope comes from her ability to honor his body for burial. She thinks, if I can just do that, I can pay these last respects in such an important and personal way, it's going to help me to heal. And so her grief now is compounded because she appears to not be able to do that one thing that she thought she might be able to do for Jesus. And she doesn't care about anything in this moment except knowing where Jesus' body is. Can you put yourself in that scene with her? So much does she want this that she doesn't realize who's right there with her. Are we like her at times? Looking for Jesus in the ways that we're used to seeing him, or the ways that we're expecting to see him at that moment. Oblivious sometimes that he's right there with us, even in our darkest moments of grief, even in our times of suffering, even in our times of great doubt, even our times of turning away from him. Well, eventually, Mary does recognize Jesus when he speaks her name. When her name is spoken, it's like it brings her out of a fog, right? It just clears everything up in that moment. It's this powerful moment of recognition. Now she remembers who she is for sure, and she remembers why she had so much hope that she had put into Jesus. Being named by Jesus has power, amen? Jesus calling your name can bring you back to life. So Jesus sees her and knows her even when she doesn't recognize him. Isn't that reassuring this morning? He doesn't forget. He calls out to her. She's not just another person grieving. She is his disciple and someone he loves very much. Well, it's out of her naming and recognition of Jesus that she is told to go. She's now, these days, given the name of evangelist because Jesus tells her to go and tell the others, right? She is actually the person who preaches the first Easter sermon. She says the words, "I have seen the Lord." Amen? She first declared that good news. Now, isn't that amazing how God chose to do it? In her time, it would never have been given to a woman to do this great and awesome task. And they would have just changed the story, right, to make it be a man, because that's just how things were. But I'm so glad that the Gospels tell it like it was, and Mary was the one. She's no longer just Mary. Now she's Mary who has seen the risen Christ, Mary the evangelist. And it's all because she cared that much, amen? She cared enough to go and to see about things and to try to pray through on it. She didn't just turn her back on the situation. And now, having seen the risen Lord, she is awakened again. She has brought back to life. All of that grief is well on its way to being resolved because here is Jesus right in front of her, risen from the dead, offering her hope and giving her a sense of purpose for her life to go and tell others. Now, maybe it's just me, but I think Mary didn't do this just one time. I think Mary told this story for the rest of her life, and people's lives changed everywhere because of it. But there is a lesson here. We know that since the fall in the garden at the beginning of creation's story, because of sin entering into the world, and with it, death, we know now that death is part of the equation, right? We have to accept it. We experience it in our families. We've just gone through this in our own family. We're still processing things. We're still working through it. Some days at the time of day when we were used to calling Ellen's dad and talking with him, right? It hits us right in the gut that we can't do that, right? And those little things that you do, you don't delete those voicemails, right? You want to replay it one more time just to hear that. Maybe not forever, but at least for a time. It's hard. It's the hardest thing. And yet we have to go through it. But this scene that's unfolding in the garden, this is so powerful for us because so much of what is hard about life, it's all being resolved on this Easter morning. Now, I use the word resolved. I didn't use the word solved, right? It's not like, bing, death doesn't happen anymore, right? It's not like, bing, no more problems, it won't make you sad. No. But it's resolved. Because we know now that the thing has happened. Jesus rose from the dead. And when he did, now everything's possible, right? The great power that holds us back so much has been overturned. And we know that the clock just has to run out. And eventually, all of us will experience that new life. And so that's why we read this morning, death, where is your sting, right? It's kind of saying, death, is that all you got? Because Jesus had more. Amen? And so now, although life is still very real, life gets real at the most inconvenient times. And trouble disrupts, and we have to cope and respond. But now we can. Amen? Because Jesus turned the tables on the worst things that can happen. So the way to the resurrection, though, is through death, right? There's a pathway that Jesus had to go on, and he said we were to take up our cross and follow him. So we still experience death, we still experience grief, but as Christians who are following Jesus, as human beings who put our trust in Jesus who was more than a human being, we can pass through that threshold, and we can experience something more. Yes, it's a hope, but yes, it's also a powerful, tangible thing that we can experience even in our bodies. That is the release that comes from knowing this is never the end of the story. Are you with me this morning? Are you leaning into this kind of living? Living the resurrected life means walking the hard road to the cross. It means laying down all the stuff that gets in the way of experiencing life as God has for us. So we have to lay down our pride. We have to lay down our selfishness. There's no longer a reason to trust in the world and what it has to offer us because Jesus has overcome it all. And when we do lay that down, and that's what we've been spending this whole Lenten season doing, trying to look within, trying to look up, looking for guidance on the things that if we let go of them will give us more peace, more joy, more fruit of the Spirit in our lives. If we lay these things down, Jesus, it leaves more room in our life for Jesus to pour in the things that we really need and to give us that abundant resurrected life. So The resurrection community, that's what we could call the Christian family, the resurrection community doesn't fear the worst places, but now seeks to bring hope into those places. Amen? And that's what the disciples did. They went forward, they shared this message, and they turned the world upside down. The resurrection community finds the darkest and most dangerous places of the world to cast the light and life of the resurrection. And the resurrection community knows that in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do hard things. Amen? And we have done hard things this year, haven't we? We have made it through this season by the grace of God, and by the grace of God we'll carry on. But come what may, we always knew, and we still know it today, that in Jesus there is every power that we need. So there's resurrection for the world, for all who have died. But this morning I think Jesus would want us to know that there's resurrection for the dead places in our lives. Amen. I hope that you have confessed your sins, you have put your trust in Jesus, and you are seeking to follow him every day. And there's a cleansing that happens in that that is powerful. I hope you've gone beyond that, and you've fully surrendered your life to Jesus and invited the Holy Spirit to just fully have its way in you. We call that being entirely sanctified. I hope that you've been filled through and through with the Holy Spirit of God. And I hope that you're walking in newness of life. But this morning I'm here to say there's more. There's more, because if we keep walking in the Spirit, then God keeps working deeply in our lives. And we can continue to let go of those things that might still hinder us a bit. We can learn better how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And we can know more what it is to live resurrection life. When we look at our lives, we see some of those things that remain. And it's going to be a different story for each one of us. Ways that we fall back into trusting worldly ways if we're not focused and paying attention. Ways that we resist others when we should be open to them. Ways that we close ourselves off because of differences between us and others. Oh, I don't know, like politics maybe. Ways that we just shape the world and make it a big battle zone all the time when it's just not necessary. Because when we're living the resurrected life, we can bring joy and hope and wonder into any scene. Now, the world needs to change. The world can get better. And as Christians experience the love of Jesus, we can be part of that, and we can help bring positive change. And it can begin even if no laws were to change. We can bring change by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we can help to we can be open to receive help and love from our neighbors, and therefore we can build trust with them. And together we can build a better world. It's all possible because Jesus took on all the violence, all the division, all the brokenness, all the sin, all the selfishness and pride. He took it all, and he's giving back life and hope and peace and the power to live even in the face of death. Are you with me this morning? Are you living this way with Jesus? Well, we're the ones who are called to go, because if we don't go, who's going to go, right? We know the story. We've experienced it on some level in our own lives. But we're called to go even when it's hard and difficult. We have gifts, spiritual gifts. We have natural abilities. We can use them to the best of our ability. We don't have to be perfect. We come as we are, as God calls us to come, and we do what he invites us to do, and we do it in the power that he provides. And we know that even when it's hard, even when there are those things that we think it's only right that I should have this in my life, or I should want this for my life, Lord. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Why isn't it there? Why don't I have complete deliverance in my health, Lord? Why don't I have the person by my side that I want to have by my side? Why do some in my own family not communicate with me the way that I want them to do? But we can know in those moments that we are not abandoned, and that even in those moments, we have all that we need because of Jesus. And we declare through our lives, through our words, and through our actions, that even the most forgotten places, even the worst places, can be redeemed. Amen. Well, Jesus sent Mary, and he's sending us because we've been witnesses to the resurrection power of Jesus. We live in hopeful expectation that just as Christ was raised, we too will be raised. But I want us to see something this morning. I think what's happening in the garden there, it's showing us something powerful about what it means to be a Christian. Because sometimes we've gotten this impression that being a Christian means being shiny and happy and no problems, right? And having it all together in every situation. And if somebody appears to be a mess, well, they couldn't possibly be a serious Christian, right? So we write them off. Well, that's hogwash, as we used to say in Iowa, where I grew up. Because look at Mary. She's a mess, right? And Jesus still owned her, amen? He still said, I'm your friend. I am for you. Sometimes, even as a Christian, we go through grief, don't we? And sometimes as a Christian, it gets us. And we can somewhat lose our way. We can just feel overwhelmed. We sometimes feel, even as a Christian, like we've just been through nothing short of a gut-wrenching experience that we barely made it through. We would never want to repeat, and we're kind of upset that it happened, right? These things happen to us sometimes. But here's the thing. Even when we don't have what we want, even when we don't have what we think we need, we have Jesus. We have Jesus. Amen? If Mary was here this morning, she would look out at all of us and she would say, we have Jesus. So let's say that with her. We have Jesus. Even when we don't think we do. Will you bow your heads? Father, I am so moved this morning by the wonder and the awe of resurrection life. I am so thankful this morning for the way you move in, even in our broken moments. And you see all that we're carrying and all that feels unresolved and unmet, and all those hopes in us that on certain days they just seem so lost. They seem so out of reach. And yes, Lord, sometimes we're wanting the wrong things. Sometimes we're reaching out for things that just wouldn't even be right for us. But other times, Lord, it's just the ache of life. And it's just that reminder that this is not all there is. So, Lord, can you help us in this moment to add a new level and in new ways lean into being resurrection people, part of the resurrection community, who have been given a message and a mission to go and tell. But first, Lord, we need those moments with you. So I'm asking you to come right now and to call us by name and to let us know that even when all seems lost, we still have you. And even when we don't think you're there, you are always there. You have overcome. And when we open ourselves to it, you've got all that we need. with your heads bowed this morning, if you're leaning in and connecting with Jesus and the power of resurrection life, even in the broken places of your life in this moment, would you just raise your hand and acknowledge it? Even if you're watching online, could you do that this morning? I know I am. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Heavenly Father, I give thanks to you for people who want to know you more. I give thanks to you for people who don't know yet that they need you in their lives. And Lord, I'm so thankful that there is this hope, that there is this power and this resource that is there for everyone I know. And Lord, I know some need it this morning so bad. But Father, I have hope that you have a plan that's ever unfolding. And even on the worst days, it's never all lost. It's always moving forward. You are always making all things new. I thank you that it makes a difference for me. I pray that you'll help me in the ways that I can grow into it more. And that is my prayer for everyone this morning. May we be able to say, I have seen the Lord. I have known his power. He has called me by name. And I know that he is mine. And together we can see his kingdom come. And I pray this in that name that's above every other name. The name of your Son, our risen and reigning Lord, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God is good. Amen. All right, let's stand together. I hope you really believe it this morning, and I hope that in the grace God provides, you can live it. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is risen. Go because you can. Go in newness of life. Go knowing that you have Jesus, even when you don't think you do. In his holy name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Take care.